Welcome to today's edition of the Immigration Hour. I'm your host, Charles Cook, managing partner at Cook Baxter Immigration. It's great to be with you. We're in our new studio, still working on the audio to really get it sounding great. It's not quite there, but stay with us. And the next couple episodes, we'll have it just about perfect for great listening. Obviously, today is May 10th, 2023. We are one day away from the greatest media event of the century, the end of something that doesn't exist. Yeah, okay. So tomorrow, May 11th, the Biden administration has announced the end because of the COVID emergency order ending on the same day at midnight tomorrow night, the end of Title 42 as it relates to the border. Now, what is Title 42? Title 42, let's get this straight, is not an immigration rule. Title 42 refers to Title 42 of the United States Code, a section of which allows the Biden administration, or any administration, because others have used it, to bar the entry to the United States of certain individuals for health-related reasons. One of the most famous examples of this prior to COVID was the Obama administration barred the entry of individuals from certain parts of East Africa during the Ebola outbreak back in the mid-teens. And obviously, presidents can do this. You want the power of the president to do this. But it was weaponized and rather, let's call it, ingenuous way by Stephen Miller and his minions in the Trump administration to bar the entry of anybody at the border. And it didn't really use it at airports, at the southern border. And basically, what it allowed them to do is not use Title 8. What is Title 8? Title 8 of the immigration laws. That's where all immigration laws are located. So they didn't have to use Title 8. They used Title 42. What that meant was there was no immigration consequence. Think about this. No immigration consequence to being caught at the border and sent away. It wasn't a deportation. They were, quote, returned to Mexico for their safety. So basically, they forced people to live out on the border of Mexico who weren't Mexicans. And the only people not subject to Title 42 at the border were those with visas, which could apply for entry, and Mexicans who were seeking asylum because you couldn't send people back to where they were afraid to go. But everybody else from every country in the world was sent back to Mexico with no immigration consequence. They were simply released and gone. And they would, what? Come back the next day. Come back the next day. Come back the next day. And there is a really nice Twitter article about someone who did a FOIA and said, you know, tell me about all the people that are coming back. And they discovered that at least one person had been caught and returned 72 times. 72 times. No immigration consequences. None. There's no immigration consequence to this. Now, Title 42 is going away. And what does that mean? Well, let's look at what that means with the return to normalcy, the return to Title 8, the return to CBP, not just pushing people back across the fence. Now, we have to deal with this process. And what the Biden administration is doing is a multi-pronged approach to this. Now, the Biden administration actually started gearing up for this several months ago when they began allowing individuals from Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, and Haiti to apply for parole to come to the United States to apply for asylum here. They were basically sponsored by people they knew. So anybody in the United States could sponsor you, fill out a little form, send it online, and almost immediately, people began coming onto this program, and thousands have come onto this program. Honestly, it's the largest use of parole other than DACA in our history. Can't really be stopped in the courts. That's why there's no court case stopping it. It kind of is what it is. And what that did was it dramatically reduced by upwards of 70% the number of Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuela is coming to the United States at the southern border almost immediately. Because they said, if you tried to come in and didn't do this, you couldn't come at all, and they were going to deport you. So what are the things that the Biden administration is doing? One, they're using this app called CBP1. CBP1 is perhaps the worst developed app ever put on the App Store, in which you make an appointment to present yourself at the border to apply for asylum. And if you did that, you were processed and you were then released to again file your asylum claim inside the United States. The problem is that that didn't work and it became impossible to get appointments. The Biden administration announced that there will be 1,000 appointments a day available on May 11th, after May, so May 12th, for people to do this. The problem is probably 50,000 people in Mexico. It could take 2 months for them to come in. But what they're saying is if you don't use CBP1 and you seek to, and you enter the United States illegally and you're caught, you will be processed for expedited removal. Now, expedited removal has a provision that says if you express fear of returning, you can't be expedited removed immediately. You have to go through a credible fear interview. A credible fear interview. Credible fear is you have a reasonable claim that your claim is believable and it could, not would, but could lead to a grant of asylum. Now, historically speaking, credible fears have been granted 99% of the time. I don't expect that to happen going forward. And the Biden administration has taken every asylum officer in the United States and reactivated 500 other former asylum officers to the border over the next, I would guess, at least 90 days to do credible fear interviews and these CBP1 interviews. If they find you credible, they will issue a notice to appear and you'll be released. If they don't find you credible, you will have a quick hearing in front of a judge who will also find you not credible, and then you will be deported to your home country, something that has been happening. So why is, and this is what the press is not focusing on, it drives me crazy. Why are so many people coming? Because there's no consequence to coming. There's no, you're not getting, you had under Title 42, It was a stupid law. It was a dumb use of the law put in place by nativist anti-immigrants to keep people out of the country. But that wasn't the purpose of the law. It violates its own purpose because we already had COVID. They weren't bringing COVID to America. So what's happening now is people will be deported. They're going to go back home and say, you know, I thought I could go to America, and they're not letting anybody in. They deported me, and I can't go back for 5 years. And if I do go back before the 5 years is up, I activate a permanent lifetime bar and I'm never going to America. Don't go. That will be the message. That's the message the Biden administration has been trying to send. But the states, this is just what's stupid, the Republican states have gone to the courts to get them to stop sending that message. Republican states have actually created the problem. They've actually kept the problem going by stopping Biden from using the regular immigration laws to stop illegal immigration. That's what's insane about this. That's what's stupid about this. What's stupid about Sinema's bill. You don't need Title 42. You can do this using our regular laws if you fund it, if you get the officers there. So if you don't use CBP1, you're going to get an ER. If you pass credible fear or you use CBP1 pass credible fear, you then will be given a notice to appear to go to court. And the idea is these cases are going to be processed first by immigration courts, which is terrible for people that are already in deportation proceedings waiting for a decade for their hearing. But that is what it is. The other thing that the Biden administration is doing is creating a change in the asylum laws by creating a new regulation. In this new regulation, it says that if you don't come into the country using CBP1 and you did not apply for asylum outside the United States in the country you passed through, you are barred from getting asylum in the United States. Now, that probably violates another provision of our asylum laws, and it's probably illegal and probably be sued. But again, it's what the Biden administration is trying to do to force people to not receive the benefit of illegal immigration, when in fact, many of these asylum claims, and I'm going to put it out there, many people's asylum claims are not going to pass asylum muster. You know, I teach at Emory, and I've taught asylum law for 24 years. I practice asylum law for 35 years. You know, asylum is for individuals who have a fear of return to their home country, a reasonable fear of return to their home country, based upon persecution, which is physical harm or other types of substantial levels of harms or threats. That's not just death. It's not just physical harm, but things that can substantially negatively affect your ability to live in your home country, but only based on five things: race, religion, nationality, political opinion, and being a member of a particular social group. That's it. The fact that there is that you might be extorted in your home country because you have a business, probably not a basis for asylum. That your kid may be recruited to a gang, probably not a basis for asylum. That there's generalized crime in your country, not a basis for asylum. None of those things are a basis for asylum. Give me a drink here. Right? Because that's not the way the treaties on asylum and our own laws are written. So you don't get asylum because you want a better life in America. I had a young man reach out to me on Facebook that I've known for years in Peru. And he had been deported years ago because of a stupid mistake. And he's waiting out his time there to come back. And he said, a friend told me I can come in on Title 42. And I said, dude, if you do that, I just wrote, no! If you do this, you're activated permanent bar, and you're not getting asylum. You know, a lot of Peruvians are coming up here. Stop. Stop coming. Fight in your own country. Fight to make things better there. I've got a couple good Peruvian asylum cases that are really good, but the vast majority are junk. The vast majority, even Venezuela's, where there is clear persecution across the spectrum, like 60% or more are being denied. Colombia, almost all are being denied. You know, Cuba, they're denying tons. So, you know, the Biden administration has been prohibited from sending this message because Republican states have forced them to keep Title 42 in place. And that's what's really problematic here. So what do we know? This is the next thing that's going to happen. They are mostly going to detain single men and women. So if you're single and you're coming to America, you're going to be in detention. Today, there's 20,000 people in detention. They're going to ramp that up. Now, the Biden administration says they're not going to detain families yet. So families will likely be released. But single people, you're going to be detained in an ICE detention facility, in the Jaleras, in the converted Kmarts on the border. You're going to be detained while you wait your hearing. And you're going to have an interview from a phone booth, maybe a video interview for your credible fear. You're going to have essentially no access to lawyers or pro bono organizations. You're going to be in custody for weeks, and you're likely to be deported. That's likely what's going to happen. Now, the other thing the Biden administration has done is they've agreed with Mexico that Cubans, Haitians, Haitians, Venezuelans can be deported to Mexico. So they're not going back to their home countries. But they're going to be stuck in Mexico. And are they going to get asylum in Mexico? I don't know. Are they going to be able to work in Mexico? I don't know. But they're going to dump them at the border. So, you know, again, if you're from those countries, you need to not come. This is a powerful thing. You're going to start to – they're going to do the Trump version light. So it's Trump light. They're going to have – and ICE has a detention capacity of 34,000 people. They are going to fill those beds. They're going to fill those beds. And again, not a good thing for people, but there's going to be a lot more electronic monitoring of families, curfews. They're going to put the pressure on people. Now, the other thing that the Biden administration is doing, and again, a positive, upward-looking, good thing, is they're opening up migration processing centers in Guatemala and Colombia to screen people for humanitarian processes. So it's kind of like something that Biden talked about, day one citizenship that never passed Congress back in January. And we don't really have all the details. They haven't opened them yet. But they're going to open them in Guatemala and Colombia so that people, presumptively, if they've got family members in the United States, they can be paroled in. I think it's kind of an expansion of what's happening with the Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba program. It's going to be a small initial rollout. We'll see what Congress does on funding for this. But to attack the Biden administration for incompetence, perfectly fair. But incompetence based on being forced to live with a program that did not allow them to actually use the actual laws in place. So we'll know a lot more as of midnight tomorrow night on May 11th. And but this is the best that's possible under immigration laws as they exist today. Now, Sinema and somebody else in Congress and the Senate's going to have a bill. It's never going to get a vote in the House, and they're going to vote in the Senate. It's just not going to be voted on. It's not. And there's not going to, in the House may pass some crazy bill that eliminates all humanitarian benefits. Never going to see a vote in the Senate. But what we will see is, this is my prediction at the border. First of all, there's not going to be hordes of people running at midnight on May 12th to the border. That's not going to happen. There's going to be orderly lines. People will be processed in orderly fashion. And once the message gets back over a period of, I would think, 60 to 90 days, you will see a dramatic drop in the number of people coming to the border, because they're not getting in. That's what you're going to see. And once the Biden administration finally gets their immigration judges system up and running and starts deporting people after they have final hearings, that message gets back too. Because you have, in order to have an effective immigration enforcement system, you have to have an effective deportation system. Now, I'm not a fan of deportation. Don't say Chuck supports deportation. You know, I think deportation is a hellacious thing. But I also think it's vitally important to have an orderly immigration process. And if you really ultimately wanted to have an effective you want to get rid of illegal immigration, you want to reduce it to capturable numbers, then you need to increase legal immigration. Because there needs the supply and demand is a very real thing. You know, we have a Republican Party that's entirely based on the free market. Free markets control everything except in labor. Republicans don't want a free market in labor. They don't. Libertarians do, but Republicans don't. They want a free market on making money, but not on labor. Because if they want a free market in labor, we would have a robust legal immigration system where employers could say, I need 10 workers for the next 10 months, and a week later they're here. We don't have that system. It doesn't exist. We have a nightmarish, hellacious, terrible system that picks winners and losers through lotteries and encourages fraud. We just don't have it. And so this, the crush at the border for want of a better life, at the same time for 4 million, 5 million jobs, for which there are no U.S. bodies to do, what are you going to do? What's the solution? Legal immigration. Legal immigration. So we're going to see in our chat next week. We'll post next Tuesday. We're going to look at the consequence, what's happened in the week. But I don't expect big long lines, and I do expect big long lines. But I don't expect crushes at the border. There's not going to be riots at the border. You're going to have reports. Everything's going to be reporters breathlessly at the border. We're at the border today, and the mile long line of estimated 10,000 people. Okay, there's a line. Let's you know, stay calm. You know, what is that British saying? Mind the gap. You know, mind the gap. Relax. Okay? Just stay calm. It's all good. It's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. And in 60 to 90 days, those lines will be gone. They will be. Because other mechanisms will be in place to both dissuade and to encourage affirmatively. And that's a good thing. So yeah, what they're doing is not great, but it's the best that they can do because Republicans force them to keep File 42 in place. And what you're going to see, because when this works, and I do believe it will work, who's going to then go back and do an article and say, maybe that the big rush for 2 years was because Title 42 was in place. Maybe if we had ended Title 42 earlier and done this other stuff earlier, we wouldn't have had an extra 3 or 4 million people come into the country. Where is that article, Mr. Newspaper Reporter Gal? Where is that? All right. That's our topic for today. It was great talking to everybody. I have certainly enjoyed it. We'll be back next Tuesday talking about this. And any other questions you have or comments, you can reach me, of course, at ccook@immigration.net or chuck@immigration.net. Either one's fine. We'll also be live today on our Facebook at Cook Baxter Facebook page. We're going to be live next Tuesday on our impact litigation page. And of course, we post on our blog at immigration.net pretty regularly, as well as on LinkedIn and Twitter and all that. Follow me on Twitter at C. Cook. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening.